إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد بجسم سؤال مجي الله سبحانه وتعالى May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muharrar fi al-Hadith by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi alayhi rahmatullah. Still on Salah, باب أمور مستحبة وأمور مكروهة في الصلاة سوى ما تقدم. This chapter has to do with matters that are beloved and matters that are detested in Salah. سوى ما تقدم, apart from what has preceded. عن عقبة بن عامر قال كانت علينا رعاية الإبل فجاءت نوبتي فروحتها في عشي فأدركت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قائما يحدث الناس فأدركت من قوله عقبة بن عامر may Allah be pleased with him said it was their duty to take care of the camels then it was his own turn فجاءت نوبتي it was my turn فروحتها and I took the camel out and brought them back, the Ashiyin, during the day, that is, up in the afternoon. فَدْرَكْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَائِمًا So when I came, I met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم standing, يُحَدِّثُ النَّاسِ, addressing the people. فَأَدْرَكْتُ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ I made from a statement, ما من مسلم يتوضا فيحسن وضوءه There is no Muslim that performs ablution perfectly ثم يقوم فيصلي ركعتين then he observes two ركع مقبلا عليهما بقلبه that is with all his heart ووجهه and with all concentration إلا وجبت له الجنة except that Al-Jannah will be established for such a person. That is, any Muslim that performs ablution and observes two rak'ah, he performs ablution perfectly, he observes two rak'ah with all his heart, with all concentration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to establish Al-Jannah for such a person. So this was reported by Imam Muslim. وقصر من عزاه إلى أبي داود وحده. Ibn Abdul Hadi عليه رحمة الله says the scholars who have just ascribed to Imam Abu Daud only have not done well. That is, the hadith can be found in Sahih Muslim, is not only in Sunan Abi Dawud, as some scholars have said. So this hadith tells us about the importance of performing ablution perfectly and observing two rak'ah after each. So this is called the nafila of wudu. So whenever we perform ablution, it is recommended that we observe two rak'ah. And when we do, this is going to be a means of getting al-jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if other things are done well. That is, said for instance, things that are forbidden, we avoid them. Things that are compulsory, we do them. So this ablution that we do is going to fetch us al-jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you avoid the great things that you have been forbidding, we are going to wipe away for you your minor sins. And when your minor sins are wiped, that's a sign that one is going to be admitted into Al-Jannah, inshallah. So if one does the compulsory acts and avoids the forbidden acts, and one engages in some of these supererogatory deeds, so this is a sign of being an image of Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among them. So the hadith was reported by Imam Muslim, likewise Imam Abu Dawud. So the author let us understand that the hadith is not only reported by Abu Dawud, as some scholars have said. One Abi Juhayn قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. From Abu Juhayn, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يعلم المار بين يدي المصلي ماذا عليه لكان أن يقف أربعين خير الله من أن يمر بين يديه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as reported by Abu Juhayn, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one passing in front of the one praying, the one who passes in front of the one that is praying, لو يعلم ماذا عليه, if he knows the sin that he has committed. In some of the reports, لو يعلم ماذا عليه من الإثم, if he knows what is on him of sin, that is what he has committed of sin, which means that when one passes in front of the one who is praying, one has committed a sin. That is, if one deliberately passes in front of the one who is praying, one has committed a sin. But if one forgetfully or unknowingly passes in front of the one who is praying, such is overlooked. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers, they say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. Who are lost, do not punish us. إِن نَسِينَا, if we forget, أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا, or we make a mistake. So if one forgets or one makes a mistake, one is not going to be held responsible. One is not sinful if one makes a mistake or one forgets. So in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the one who deliberately passes in front of the one who is praying. That لا يعلم المرء بين يدي المصلي ماذا عليه لكان أن يكف أربعين خيرا له من أن يمر بين يدي. The one who is praying, if he knows what he has committed of sin, he will prefer to remain where he is. That is, he will not pass in front of the one that is praying, even if that takes him to remain there for 40. In some of the reports, it is said 40 years, it is said 40 months. That is for him to remain. So that will be what the pain that one we get in remaining there for 40 years, remaining there for 40 months, is nothing in comparison to the sin that one will commit when one passes in front of the one who is praying. Qala Abu Nadri. Abu Nadri said, La Adri Qal Arba'ina Yawman Aw Shahran Aw Sanatan. Abu Nadri said, I don't know whether it said 40 days or 40 years or 40 months. Muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon. وفي بعض روايات البخاري, in some of the reports of an Imam al-Bukhari, ماذا عليه من الإثم, ماذا عليه من الإثم, what is upon him of sin, that is the sin that he has committed. So it is established from this hadith that it is not permissible for one to be passing in front of the praying one. Now, when is one said to have passed in front of the praying one, and when is one said to have passed in front of the praying one? So let's take the next hadith, inshallah, we'll explain this together. When Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them both, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha kharaja Yawm al-Eid. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he went out on the day of Eid, Hamara bin Harba, he would order for a spear. Fatu da'urbayna yaday, this will be placed in front of him. Fayusalli ilayha, and you play facing it. وَالنَّاسُ وَرَاءَهُ, and the people will be behind him. وَكَانَ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي السَّفَرِ, he will also do this while on the journey. He will try to erect this spear. From يَثَمَّ اتَّخَذَ الْأُمَرَى, it is from this or then that the umara, the rulers, they also apply such whenever they traveled, so or whenever it was Eid, so and they wanted to observe Salatul Eid, they will erect the spear, so in order to serve as sutra. وَنَا عِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّا قَالَتْ, from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكِ عَنْ سُطْرَةِ الْمُصَلِّي. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked in the battle of Tabuk concerning the sutra of a praying one. فَقَالَ مِثْلُ مُوْخِرَةِ الرَّحَلِ, رَوَاءُ مُسْلِمِ. He said, like the mukhiratul rahal, that is like the end of ar-rahal. Ar-rahal, this is like what the traveling one who is on the back of the mount, what he will carry. So the end of it, mithlu mukhirati ar-rahal. So like the mukhirat ar-rahal, this is said to be about 36 or so centimeters, as some have said. So this tells us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take sutra. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take sutra, and the sutra will be as high as mukhirati ar-rahal, that is the back of the saddle, that is a saddle bag. So the end of it, so it will be as high as that. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. From Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ, when one of you prays, فَلِيَجْعَلْ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ شَيْئًا, he should put something in front of himself. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, if he cannot find, فَلِيَنْصِبْ عَصَاهُ, he should erect a staff. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ عَصًى, if he doesn't have a staff with him, فَلْيَخُطَّ خَطًّا, he should draw a line. ثُمَّ لَا يَضُرُّهُ مَا مَرَّ أَمَامًا, ثُمَّ لَا يَضُرُّهُ مَا مَرَّ أَمَامًا, then what passes in front of him would not affect him. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجة وابن حبان, وهو حديث مضطرب الإسناد. The author says this hadith as what Ittirab in shape. That is a hadith that has different things. So, and this is called what Ittirab. It may be in sanad, it may be in the matn. So this is called what Ittirab. وكذلك ضعفه الشافعي. الإمام الشافعي said it's ضعيف. وغيره and others. وصححه ابن المديني. However, ابن المديني said it is authentic. وغيره and some scholars. وقال ابن عيينة. سفيان بن عيينة said لم نجد شيئا نشد به هذا الحديث. We did not find what we can corroborate this hadith with. وقال البيهقي ولا بأس لا بأس بهذا الحديث في هذا الحكم. البيهقي said there is nothing wrong with this hadith, that this hadith is still okay, is manageable في هذا الحكم concerning this religion. Now from the hadith it is clear that scholars differ, that is from what the author has brought. It is clear that scholars differ concerning the authenticity of this hadith. When I say scholar, I mean the scholars of hadith themselves. So there will be something of this nature at times concerning some hadith. وعن سهل بن أبي حطمة يبلغ به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو يبلغ به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. From سهل, the son of Abu Asma, that is attributing to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال إذا صلى أحدكم إلى سترة فليدنو منها. When one of you prays إلى سترة, taking سترة, فليدنو منها, he should move close to the sutra. لَا يَفْتَعُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتًا, he should not allow shaitan to break his word, his salah. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي. الإمام أحمد reported this, and أبو داود النسائي وابن حبان and ابن حبان. وهو حديث مختلف في إسناده وروي مرسلا. This is a hadith that the shaykh, the different opinion concerning the shaykh, waruya mursalan, and is also reported mursalan, that is somebody is missing. So somebody is missing. We can't tell whether the person that is missing is a companion or is a tabi'i. So and that's why it said waruya mursalan. وروي مرسلا. وعن أبي هريرة قال. From أبو هريرة he said نهي أن يصلي الرجل مقتصرا. Now I think we've taken the hadith on and sutra, and sutra. So when we look at the hadith of the hadith of Abu Juhayn, this tells us concerning the one who is passing in front of the one who is praying, it is wrong for us to pass in front of the praying one. Then we ask, when is one said to have passed in front of the praying one? So scholars, they all agree that when the praying one takes a sutra, when the praying one takes a sutra, something that he puts in front of his in his front when he's praying, if you pass after the sutra, then you are not said to have watched, to have passed in front of the praying one. And if you look at one of the hadith that you have just read, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you is praying, he should take sutra. He should take what sutra? And he should be close to the sutra. He should be close to the sutra. One, he should take sutra. He should be close to the sutra. So, what will be the height of the sutra? All these are discussed in those various ahadith that you have mentioned. So, we are going to talk about these rulings. That is, you passing in front of the praying one is wrong. So when is one said to have passed in front of the praying one? One is said to have passed in front of the praying one when one passes before the place of his sujood. If one passes before, that is, you pass, or one passes. Please, let's question those children out there. I beg you, please. When one passes in front of the praying one, that is, you take sutra, and somebody is now passing in front of you. So if it is before your place of sujood, so that person has violated the ruling. That is, that person has committed sin if he does that deliberately. But if it is after the place of your sujood, if it is after the place of your sujood, some scholars will say the person is not sinful. We are talking about when there is no sutra. If there is sutra, if there is sutra and the person passes, so that one there is no issue. But there is no sutra. The praying one himself doesn't take sutra. The praying one himself does not take sutra. So if you pass before the place of the sutra that is close to the praying one, but before the place of his sujood rather, you pass before the place of his sujood, so deliberately one has committed a sin. And that is the one the Messenger of Allah is saying, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمَرُّ مَاذَا عَلَيْهِ لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمَرُّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الْمُصَلِّي مَاذَا عَلَيْهِ لَكَانَ أَنْ يَكِفَ أَرْبَعِينَ خَيْرًا لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمُرَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. If the one who is passing in front of the praying one knows مَاذَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ, that is the sin that is upon him, so he will prefer to remain where he is for 40 days or years or months. So that is if one is passing in front of the one that is praying, close to the person that is praying. But if one is passing far away from the place of the sujood of the person that is praying, so this, according to a lot of scholars, there is no harm. So it is the one who has not taken sutra that is at fault for not taking sutra. But for you that is passing, or that are passing in his front after his place of sujood, then there is no harm. Some scholars said his place of sujood is not enough. It must be about 3 cubits away from his feet. You know, when one is praying, one stands, the one in standing position, if one tries to measure about 3 cubits from his watch, from his feet. Then anything after the 3 cubits, one can pass. One can pass. And a cubit, a cubit is like 1.5 feet. So that will be going to about what? About 1.5 feet away from the standing position, which is a bit longer than the place of what? Sujood. The place of sujood will not be up to 1.5 feet. If somebody goes to make sujood, he will not, he's not likely to take up to what? 1.5 feet. But if you say salata to azru'i, 3 cubits, this will be about 1.5 feet. So some said he shouldn't pass in front of the praying one if he doesn't take sutra. If he doesn't take sutra, you shouldn't pass in front of him, unless if your passing is going to come after about 1.5 feet, that is after about 3 cubits, then you can pass. So what you are trying to say in essence is that the hadith is not saying you shouldn't pass in front of the praying one completely. The praying one has the place that he can occupy. So if he doesn't take sutra, so you are free to pass on condition that maybe you are passing after the place of his sujood, or you are passing after about 3 cubits. After about 3 cubits. That is after about 1.5 feet. So if you are passing after about 1.5 feet, you do not have what issue. You are not sinful. So, but for us to say because the brain one doesn't take sutra at all, then even if you are about 10 meters away from him, you shouldn't pass because it doesn't take sutra. No, that would be incorrect. That would be incorrect. So the sin of not taking sutra is upon him, not upon you. You have to pass. But where you can pass is after the place of his sujood, or at most 3 cubits after his standing position. That is 3 feet, 3 cubits, that is 1.5 feet, away from his feet. Away from his feet, that is when he's standing. So if you do that, if you pass, you are not sinful. So the hadith should be understood in line with this explanation. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمَارُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الْمُصَلِّي مَاذَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ لَكَانَ يَقِفَ عَرْبَعِينَ كَانَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمُرَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. The one who passes in front of the praying one, if he knows the sin that is upon him, he will prefer to remain where he is for 40 days or for 40 months or for 40 years. That is the suffering that he will get in standing in a place for 40 days or for 40 months or for 40 years. That suffering will not be anything in comparison to the sin that will be upon him for not waiting, for not exercising patience for passing in front of the praying one. So I think with this explanation it is clear. So some of us, when we go to some masajid and we see somebody praying and that person is far away from us, we will still go and pass his back, despite the fact that the person is far away from us. Maybe the person is about 6 or 7 feet away from where we are passing. So if he doesn't take sutra, we are not at fault. We are not at fault if we pass. So the hadith should not be applied to the one who passes maybe about 5 feet or 6 feet away from the feet of the praying one. Now, we have the other hadith that says that he said it is mutarib, that is istirab, a kind of imbalance, so to say, in the chain of the hadith. That some of the scholars authenticated and some said the hadith is da'if. And that is the one that mentioned the drawing of line. The drawing of line. So is it enough for somebody to draw a line? Some scholars said yes. If one cannot find something like the spear or anything that is up to the mukhiratul rahal, that is the back of the saddle. So anything that is not up to that. And when some scholars, when they try to measure that mukhiratul rahal, when they try to measure that mukhiratul rahal, they said it is about 36 centimeter. It is about 36 centimeter. So this tells us that it's somehow why some said it can be less than that. It depends on the height of the saddle bag. So it depends on the height. So, but drawing a line, so if one says this hadith is what is authentic, then one will say it is permissible to draw a line. But those who believe the hadith is not authentic, you have to put something, even if it is not up to this 36 centimeter or so, if it is not up to that. Huh? So, but it's something that should be high. It should be a bit high. So this is concerning the issue of the height of the sutra. Now, for the fact that they will use spear, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam erected spear, it shows that it is not, it doesn't matter that. Sorry, you have come for lectures. Let us caution the children. It disturbs me. So, this tells us that the fatness, so to say, of the sutra doesn't matter. The fatness of the sutra does not matter because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make use of what? Spear. Will make use of spear. But the height is what matters yet. The height matters. But for those who believe you can draw sutra, and you can draw a line, so they will say, if you don't have alternative, you can draw a line. And that's where some scholars are of the opinion that the prayer mat, the end of the prayer mat, you know, it's like what? A line that you can use it as what? A sutra. It can serve as sutra. You spread the prayer mat now. Where the prayer mat ends, it's like it has drawn a line. That can serve as what? A sutra in the absence of what? Anything that can be erected or that can be made to stand. So, wallahu a'lam. Then, we talked about the distance, that when you are praying, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَدْنُ مِنْهَا, it should be close to each. So and the closeness is what you have mentioned, maybe about three, that is when you are in standing position, about 3 cubits or about 4.5 feet. So that's the closest while you are in standing position. But when you are in sujood, it will be what? It may not be up to a cubit when you are in sujood. So I think that is on that. Inshallah, we will stop here. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Now, the question is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called al-mutashabbihat min al-nisa'i bil-rijal, the women that emulate the men in terms of dressing, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them. So is this hadith applicable to the one who, that is a lady that wears trousers under a jilbab? No, it does not apply. The women can put on trousers as long as they do not display it. That is, they do not allow it to describe their shapes. So they can put on trousers. There is a hadith that is mawdu', that the lady was riding on the camel and she fell from the back of the camel and her jilbab was exposed, but she was putting on trousers. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rahim Allahu al-mutasarwilati in an-nisa." That is, may Allah have mercy on the women that put on trousers. But the hadith is not authentic. However, there is no text that says the women cannot put on trousers as long as they do not display it. Because ordinarily what a woman is putting on must not describe a shape. And that is why it is not proper for a woman to put on socks. Why a jilbab does not cover her feet? You know, some women, the jilbab that they are putting on will just be up to their shank. So it will be the socks that will cover the remaining part of the leg. No, this is wrong. Their feet and their leg must not be described. Their leg must not be described. So they must put on jilbab that will cover their legs, that will get to the end of their feet. And there should be excess. This is called what? This is called the veil of their garment. The veil of their garment. There should be something of shibru to the end, the M of their garment. It should get to the last part of their feet. So if a lady puts on a garment that is not that doesn't cover her feet, maybe it is above her ankle, so that garment is not proper. The garment is not proper. What she should put on must cover her feet completely. Then if she wants to put on socks, she can wear socks. So it is not haram for women to put on socks. But socks must not be used to replace the place that the garment is supposed to get to. Likewise, trousers are not haram for the women to put on. But trousers should not be used to replace their jilbab. So if a woman now puts on trousers and the trousers are exposed, that is, the garments do not get to where they are supposed to get to. So in this situation, we may say she falls under the hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ أَوْ لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Now, I think I forgot to comment on that. لا يقطع شيطان عليه صلاة that is, you shouldn't allow shaitan to coach or break his salah. Is it a fall? That is, does it mean that the salah will be invalidated, or it means that the reward of the salah will be reduced? Now, according to majority of the scholars, it is the reward of the salah that will be reduced, not that the salah will be invalidated completely. Part of the argument is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يقطع الشيطان عليه الصلاة. He used the word يقطع. All of us agree that it's not that shaitan is going to do the iptal of the salah, rather it will be a reduction of the salah. So when we have the hadith يقطع الصلاة المرء إذا لم يكن بين يدي مثل موخرة الرحل المرأة والحمار والكلب الأسود. The salah of a person will be maqtu'a, will be cut. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِثْلُ مُوْخِرَةِ الرَّحَلِ. If something that is up to the eyes of الرَّحَل, the saddle is not in front of him. If a woman passes in his front, or when we say a woman, we mean a lady, that is somebody that has reached puberty. So, not somebody that is menstruating presently, but the person has reached the age of menstruation, or the person has reached the age of puberty. يَقْتَعُوا I don't think that are women of them. Are they women? They should caution them. Let them take them to themselves now. يقطع صلاة المرء إذا لم يكن بين يديه مثل موخرة الرحل المرأة والحمار والكلب الأسود. So these three, that is, they believe the يقطع here means the salah will be, the reward of the salah will be reduced. So in comparison to what that يقطع شيطان عليه Salata, that the yaqta'u in that of shaitan is what? Reduction of reward. So the yaqta'u in what? In this should also be what? Reduction of reward. Likewise, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, in a statement, she said, when she had people saying that women, if they pass in front of the praying one, that they do qat'u of what? Of the salah. She said, لَقَدْ عَدَلْتُمُونَ بِالْكَلْبِ وَالْحِمَارِ لَقَدْ عَدَلْتُمُونَ بِالْكَلْبِ وَالْحِمَارِ. You people have equated us with the donkey and the dog. You have equated us with the donkey and the dog. So this makes some scholars to say maybe it is abrogated. That is, that of the women is what exempted. Because Aisha radiallahu anha said, "What adaltumuna bil kelbi wal himar," that is, you equated us with the dog and what? The donkey. It means it is only that of the dog and the donkey that remains, that of the women that is menstruating is what? Is removed from it, is exempted from it based on what she said. But some scholars have said that what? No, that is understanding. The statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes precedence over the understanding of any companion. When Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a very clear statement, we don't use the interpretation of any companion, even if his wife, if it goes against the clear statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, we excuse the companion, or we excuse the wife that says something contrary to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. So the majority of the scholars, so they use all this to also see what the cultural there is, reduction of reward. Or some of them said what? The women are exempted. As Imam Ahmad in some of the report for him said the women are exempted. But wallahu alam, the correct view is that the women are not exempted. But the qat'u there can mean qat'u of what? Of reduction, not qat'u of a thought. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah and some others, they are of the opinion that the qat'u there is qat'u of a thought. So in Sisla hadith is sahiha, I think volume 7 or so, the Sheikh brought the report from Ibn Hibban that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the mamarru of al-mar'a, likewise al-kalb, al-himar wal-kalb al-aswad, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said tu'adu as-salatu min mamarri al-mar'ati wal-himar wal-kalb al-aswad. Tu'adu as-salat. The salat should be what? Should be repeated. Should be repeated when a lady and a dog, a black dog and a donkey pass in front of one. But the majority can say the tu'adu there will be what? The list of shubab, not the ujud. So wallahu a'lam. I think my position is that what the qat'u there is qat'u of what? Qat'u of reduction of the reward, not qat'u of a thought. And this is the view of the majority, contrary to the minority. And among them, the later scholars, some of the later scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Alim, Rahmatullahi Jami'an. Now, Sheikh Ibn Baz also has what one special position that some scholars have also taken, that this qat'u of iftar is not applicable to Al-Ka'ba, it's not applicable to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. That is, when you are in the Masjid Al-Haram and somebody, a lady passes in front of you, so the Sheikh says that this does not affect the, does not do the iftar of the salah. But scholars said no, this will not be correct, because when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, he said it in his masjid, either in his masjid or in al-Masjid al-Haram. So how are we going to invent this when he has said it in what, in his masjid? So, and this makes it weirder, that it is general, it applies to every place. But the culture, is it for iftar or for nafsu al-ajri, this is reduction of the reward? Wallahu alam, it is for reduction of the reward. Wallahu alam. Well, wallahu a'lam, when people give you money in the, during the aqiqah of your child, so and they give it to you, so they really mean you, not the child, not the child, they mean you. But you know, people at times they feel somehow maybe somehow bad to tell you that I'm giving you money, so they may say okay, ever after and come baby, something like that, but they mean you, So that is the culture. So not really the baby, they mean they want to give you, not the baby. But you are still going to spend on the baby. So there is no harm. You take it. He will say give it to your wife. So that is better you want to deliver the message. Now, I think somebody who wants to do that should go through the lady instead of going through, let the person give to his own wife to give to your wife, rather than a man giving you to give to your wife. That may even have words of meaning. So why are you giving me money to give my wife? So if you want, no, why giving me money to give my wife as a gift? You are a man, then you are giving me money to give to my wife as what? As a gift. So instead of giving me, you can give to your wife to give to my wife. So this would be from women to women, and anything that could be maybe misunderstood, misinterpreted, will be avoided. Will be avoided. So if it is what through the wife to the wife, that is what is better than through me to my wife. If it's a gift. So if you want to give me, you give me. So that is better. But let's assume the person who is giving does not understand it that way. He gives you to give your wife. It is better you watch, you deliver the message. Because the person that is giving is somebody who is a believer, that he has attained the puberty. So not a small person that you are the one to spend on the person. So it is better that you give to the wife to avoid any misunderstanding. Allahu a'lam. Okay. Is it sunnah for a man to do what? To kiss another man? Okay. Now, can somebody kiss another person on the cheek? So is that permissible? There is nothing wrong in it if bad intention is not attached to it. If something evil is not intended. So kissing the forehead of a person or kissing the cheek of that person, there is nothing wrong, as long as what is not something that attracts any sexual whatever. So maybe a father doing that to his son, or his son doing that to his father, or an elderly one doing that to a younger one doing that to an elderly one. If it does not have any ulterior motive, there is nothing wrong with this. And the mahram does that to his or mahram, there is nothing wrong in that if any ulterior motive is not attached to it. For somebody who is not your mahram, it's not okay for you to do that. It's haram for you to do that. If it is haram for you to have handshake with someone who is not your mahram, then kissing the person on the forehead or on the cheek, that will be worse off. The Messenger of Allah said, لأن يطع عن أحدكم في رأسه بمخية من حديد خير له من أن يمس امرأة لا تحل له. For one of you to be asked with a needle on his head is better than watch the person touching a lady that is not lawful to him. So, Allahu a'lam. Whether if two friends, if ulterior motive is not attained, sunnah. No, it's not sunnah. But is it permissible? That is what should be the question. Is it permissible? I think that is what he intended. Is it permissible? It's permissible if ulterior motive is not attached to it. So this should be avoided. I said it's permissible, it should be avoided, particularly when you see two young people. Because it may have what ulterior motive. So Allahu a'lam. Huh? Building a female-only masjid. Now you can't build a female-only masjid. Huh? So the masjid is general. So the female, they have what? Their own place where they pray. During time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the women will be at the back, the men will be in front. So we will not say this masjid is solely for the females. So who will be their imam? Huh? So who will be their imam? So they will be observing Salat Rasul, Salat Al-Asri, they will be coming for the congregation. And their imam will be a male or a female. So that is what is bid'ah. You see, you are building a masjid for the female only. But if it says the musalla nisa, that is the prayer area for the females, which is connected to the male area, there is nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. And this is what we practice in our masajid. So they have the prayer area for the females and they have the prayer area for the males. During the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so everything was just left open. So the women would just be at the back and the female, the male would be in front. The male would be in front. But the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let the people know that خير صفوف الرجال أولها. The best stuff for the men are the first ones. وَشَرُّهَا أَخِرُهَا. The worst of the sufuf are the last ones. وَخَيْرُ سُفُوفِ النِّسَاءِ أَخِرُهَا. The best sufuf for the women are the worst, the last ones. وَشَرُّهَا أَوَّلُهَا. And the worst of the sufuf are the first ones. Why? Because the first sufuf of the rijal are far away from fitna. Why the last ones are closer to fitna? The first sufuf of nisa are closer to fitna. So their own first sufuf and the last sufuf of the men will meet. Why the last sufuf of the nisa are farther away from fitna? Are farther away from fitna. There is a hadith that Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah authenticated that when the verse وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ was revealed. They say the purpose or the sabab al-nuzul of this verse is that there was a beautiful lady that prayed in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was in the first row of the women. So the men at the last row, when they saw the face, the beauty of this, some of them were watching, looking for way to move away from watch the back row, finding a way out. While some people were trying to make to go back to that place from the front, they are trying to go back. So Allah said, "What? وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَد عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ." We have known those who are trying to do what istikhdam, and those who are trying to do istikhar, those who are trying to go front, running away from fitna, and those who want to go to watch, go back to see the fitna. And that was the sabab nuzul of that verse. So some scholars, they have comments on the authenticity of the hadith. So that shows that what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the masjid. وَصَلَاتُهُنَّ فِي بُيُوتِهِنْ. But for them to pray in their houses is better. So if a woman is coming to the masjid, maybe she's coming to watch for a lecture and things like that. But if they ask her, coming to the masjid to observe salah and coming to the and praying in your home, which one is more rewardable? Praying at home is more rewardable for her than coming to the masjid. But if she's coming for another purpose, maybe to listen to lecture, that is for that purpose, so she may get reward for that purpose. So and that's why we are using this opportunity to tell our sisters who are bringing their children, let us try to caution our children. This place is for lecture, it's not for play. So we may just decide to leave the children running here and there, running. So it doesn't, it does not sound well. It's a distraction for the speaker himself. Because if the noises being made by the young ones, the children are coming in to distract the attention, and the speaker will not know what to say because he's speaking, and other people are also speaking. So this will be what? This will be wrong. So let us try to keep our children to ourselves. It's just for 5 minutes, 1 hour. But you come to the masjid, you take the seat, and you leave the children running here and there. So this is what is not something that sounds well. So our intention for coming to the masjid is for us to listen to lecture, not to see our old friends or to make this place at a meeting point. So let us check ourselves. This is also applicable to the males. Huh? So if you come for lecture, you come for lecture. Not that you see it as what opportunity to come and talk beside and things like that. Wallahu a'lam. Okay. Calling Adhan in the ear of the newborn, the hadith is da'if. Both Adhan and Iqamah, both of them are da'if. They are not authentic. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك Thank you.